Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we were there in Mark's gospel as Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Now, at the end of those temptations, in another gospel, it says that Satan left Jesus waiting for a more opportune time. I believe that today's gospel story shows us one of those more opportune times, a time when Jesus might be influenced by temptation to give up on the salvation ministry that he is doing. It all begins off camera, just a few verses before our reading today, as Peter confesses that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. Jesus now believes that the disciples are ready to hear the truth. And so Jesus announces his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. But it doesn't seem the disciples were ready, because that leads to a rebuke from Peter, and it becomes then the more opportune time. You see, as Jesus was now traveling south towards Jerusalem with the disciples, he asks them who people say that he is. Jesus wants to sort of take the pulse of the crowds, of the people, of even the disciples. What do they all think about what he is doing, what they are seeing, what they are hearing? Now, the consensus is that Jesus is a prophet, like John the Baptist, or like one of those five on the windows we're talking about in midweek Lent. They understand that Jesus has a message from God, a message that afflicts the comfortable, the powerful, the authorities, and comforts all who are afflicted and cast out. But then Jesus asked the disciples who they think he is. They've heard more. They've seen more. They've been with Jesus more. And Jesus wants to know what they think. Now, I believe that when that question was asked, there was an awful lot of looking down at their feet and not making eye contact with anyone, because I don't want to be the one who has to answer the question. And then finally, Peter stepped in. Peter jumps in with both feet and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter gets to the heart of the matter. That while Jesus may have a message from God, he is more than simply a prophet. He is the chosen one. Jesus is the one that all of God's people have been awaiting. Peter's confession excites Jesus in that he is proud of Peter connecting dots. And so Jesus hopes that the disciples are now ready for the truth. You see, God's people have been waiting for the Messiah for lots and lots of years. And for many people, that means that someone is going to be coming as either a general, a king, a priest, or some wild combination of all of those and more. From the end of the Davidic dynasty, some have looked for the Messiah to come as a military genius like David was, who would lead God's people to victory. Others have prayed that this Messiah would come as a new king like David was, throw out Rome, throw out whoever it was who was in charge, and lead Israel to new and greater glory. Still others believed that what was needed was a new high priest that would return worship to its purity and to its power. And Peter and all of his friends thought that they were connected to the Messiah, but to that Messiah, whichever Messiah Jesus turned out to be, the general, the king, the priest, the combination. Peter and the disciples had dreams of being in on the ground floor of God's great overhaul of the world around them. They would be on the winning team with the big boss man himself. So when Jesus announced his suffering and death, something snapped. After Peter's confession, Jesus believed that the disciples were prepared for the truth. God's plan of salvation, God's true Messiah, has nothing to do with military or political power or reform of temple worship. God's plan of salvation was about loving God and loving neighbors, even to the point of death. When Jesus said that he was going to be betrayed and would suffer and die and then rise on the third day, he burst a lot of bubbles. He dashed a lot of hopes. It seems to me that the disciples didn't even hear the promise to rise again because they couldn't get around the fact that Jesus said that he will be betrayed, condemned, beaten, and crucified. These things that Jesus says leads to this more opportune time, because Satan, using the voice of and the concerns of Jesus' friend Peter, tries to tempt Jesus to toss aside God's salvation plan and instead storm the gates of Jerusalem with all of us. You can hear Peter saying, "No, Jesus, let's not do that. We're with you. We can get others to follow us. We can throw Rome out. We can bring Israel to glory again. We can do it. You can do it, and we're right behind you." Now, in Mark's gospel's temptation story, Satan never says to Jesus, "Turn that stone into bread," or "I will give you all of the world if you will just bow to me." But here, Peter's temptation may be even more powerful than that. It really is an opportune time. Jesus is still right there at the very beginning of his trip to Jerusalem, and Peter is concerned. But Jesus rebukes Peter. And the voice of Satan that he brought into that conversation, Jesus tells us all that the kind of thinking that Peter was using is human thinking, fallen human thinking, sinful human thinking. Jesus is following God's plan, and it is only because of our sinful humanity that the suffering and the death are inevitable. Jesus recognizes that this is an opportune time for Satan, but it is also an opportune time for Jesus. Because Jesus turns to the crowds around him, to all of the disciples, and to all of us. And he uses this as a teaching moment. If we think that following Jesus is going to lead to luxury or power, to giving orders or collecting lots and lots of money for me, then we are mistaken. If we think that Jesus is ushering in a new earthly kingdom, a new temple priesthood, a new military venture, we are mistaken. Jesus tells us that following him is about loving God and loving your neighbors. But Jesus tells us that, very matter of fact, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus as he goes to the cross for our salvation. Jesus is telling us that it's not about proximity to him and positioning ourselves for upward mobility, but rather following and being a disciple of Jesus. We must deny ourselves. Now, this is not a denial that asserts control, but rather a denial that leaves God alone in control. This denial Jesus calling us to is denying that we are the most important thing in the universe, that we're way more important than any of them, whoever those unfortunate thems may be. And then Jesus says, take up your cross. And taking up our cross is not putting up with that one caustic uncle that nobody wants to sit by at Christmas. It's not some superficial cross we have to bear. Taking up our cross is about our being willing to suffer on behalf of a neighbor at any time. It's not needless suffering, but rather giving of ourselves sacrificially for the sake of the needy around us. And Jesus himself is actually showing us how to do that as he walks toward Calvary. Jesus says, follow me. And to follow Jesus is the one thing we kind of understand here. There is no place our faith will take us that Jesus hasn't already been. From hospitals to jail cells, from classrooms to boardrooms, from churches to factories to stores and parade grounds, Jesus has been there and leads us into the world to find the neighbors to love. Jesus leads us when we are tempted. Jesus leads us when we are loving as we have been called. Jesus leads us when we fail, when we fall, when we are lost and forgotten. Here Jesus asks us to follow him in love and service, in care, bringing hope and peace to the people around us. It is a very opportune moment for Satan to attempt to derail God's plan of salvation. But it is also opportune for Jesus to call us and to show us what being a child of God and a disciple of Jesus really truly is. We are the ones who get to strive on behalf of our neighbors. We get to care for the poor around us. We get to bring hope and comfort to the sick and the grieving. And this week, we get to try and do just that. May Jesus walk beside you and lead you into peace. Amen.